Oh, how happy I will be when life's journey here is run, and I look upon his face and I hear him say, well done. You have fought a faithful fight, and my child, you've kept the faith. Enter now, my joys are yours. So just step inside the gate, inside the gate, inside the gate.
This version or that version or whatever, it's I'm not following versions. Just randomly, I guess, choosing them. Now, these sheets are out there. I don't know if you noticed them when you came in, but there are sheets, study sheets. I don't like to call these notes, really, because what it did, I've got the verse that I'm going to use this morning, but while I was rambling around on ye old internet, I come across a Presbyterian site that had this information on it, and it makes a very good devotional for the day, but it speaks of joy. This is by Howard Thurman. The poem that I have highlighted is "I Will Light Candles This Christmas." And it reads, "I will light candles this Christmas, candles of joy despite all the sadness, candles of hope where despair keeps watch, candles of courage for fears ever present, candles of peace for tempest-tossed days, candles of grace to ease heavy burdens, candles of love to inspire all my living, candles that will burn all year long." Thurman was a Baptist pastor. He lived in the 1800s. Well, he was born in 1899, so he lived into the 1900s. In 1953, Life magazine recognized him as one of the greatest preachers in the country. He ended up getting a PhD in 1955. Of course, he was struggled all of his life. Born in poverty, had to start working when he was 10 years old, and he accomplished so much in his life. And then to write a poem like this, it is the kind of poem we need to know at this time, during this crisis, during this, they're saying this COVID stuff should end I guess by the fourth quarter of next year. So we've got a ways to go still dealing with it. Howard Thurman wrote, and this is the devotional part that's on that paper, there are those who have in themselves the gift of joy. Wherever they go, they give birth to joy in others. To be touched by them is to be blessed by God. Beatrice had this gift of joy, and she shared it generously throughout her 93 years on earth. Her family spoke at her funeral of how, in spite of losing her father at an early age, in spite of being sent to work grueling hours shucking oysters, in spite of being widowed with two children, in spite of unrelenting seasons of sadness in her life, Beatrice somehow radiated joy. There was always a gentle smile on her face, even when tears were flowing down her cheeks, her great-granddaughter recalled. As the stories about Beatrice continue to be shared, I find myself wondering how someone who had faced so much hardship could be remembered as being so joyful. Then an elderly man came forward to the microphone and began telling how Beatrice never let her lamp of joy burn out. Rather, he said, Beatrice kept it burning brightly with God's promise that she would never be left alone. Even in her darkest moments, she made sure to have enough oil on hand, enough to trust in God to get her through the times of waiting for the divine presence to arrive and chase away the shadows. I found my mind drifting back to the times when I was not prepared with enough oil for my lamp, to how in my search for more oil, searching places other than God's word, I had missed God's presence. Beatrice, though, stayed awake, ever watchful for joy to arrive. She kept her lamp burning so brightly that even in death, her light continued to bless, comfort, and inspire others. I just read that and thought that was an excellent definition of joy, reflection of joy. You know, even in the midst of struggles, in the midst of a crisis, in the midst of things that go on during this time, we have that joy with us. Amen. It's a part of us. But like all things, it's a choice we make. We're people who make excuses pretty easily. And an excuse that we have a tendency to make is, you know, well, how can I have joy when all this is going on? You know, I had this happen, I had that happen, I've had, you know, lost this, you know, been sick, been this, been whatever. How can I have joy? The point is, God gave us that joy. He gave it to us through Jesus Christ. Now, when we come into this year, as Cynthia was covering earlier, when we come into the close of this year, when we celebrate Christ's birth, we have to remember that joy was given to us. Great joy. And in that joy was it joy unspeakable and full of glory. We received that joy. And then it's up to us what we do with it from there. It's the same is true in every aspect of our life. What do we do? What choices do we make? We tend to relate everything to the carnal, to how we feel. I just can't help it. That's just how I feel. Well, that's carnality, just so you know. That's the carnal self talking. We need to make a different choice. No, I refuse to walk in the carnal flesh and the fleshly attitude of grief, sorrow, sadness, and despair. I choose rather to walk in joy. That is my choice, my election. These verses you're familiar with? Well, you know that was written by Michael W. Smith. And you know Michael W. Smith is a West Virginian. Pardon me?
I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. He's from right down the road, Barbersville. Born and raised there. Always put a plug in for him like that when we do a Michael W. Smith song. Not that he needs plugs from me. Didn't have to laugh that hard. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 5. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise. Like 3 wise men? Maybe? I'm trying to slide this into a Christmas story, so. And 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took the lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out and meet him." Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Now, we went through these verses not that long ago, but I really want to focus on the choices that we make to which side we stand on. See, there are those who will say, "Well, I went to this and so's church. You know, there's a Teresa up there. How come she's getting to go in? I went to the same church she did." Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can't associate yourself with somebody else. You can't say, "Well, I should go. I'm every bit as good as that person is." We need to make decisions in our own lives and do what we know is right. We'll never get into the kingdom of God through other people's efforts and works and good life. It has to be our own. It says that those who were ready, the door was shut on the ones, you know, once everybody entered in. And I hold to this, and I guess I should probably teach you on it more distinctly, but this isn't a choice, a thing of people going to heaven or hell. This is the wedding supper. And there's only so many people who are going to be admitted into the wedding supper. He says many will be invited. A lot of people are going to be invited, but not everybody's going to get in the door. And another place he says that we're all going to stand and be judged, our works. And he says, you know, the works that are not righteous before him, they're going to be burned up in fire like hay, wood, and stubble. But they will be spared. So those who are believers, they will be spared everything that depended on works. And that's the emphasis here, is that your works do matter. What you do for the kingdom of God, they matter. And yes, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is not a description of hell. The description of hell is far worse. The gnashing of teeth, all that is symbolism. It's old slang for being extremely grieved. And those people who do not get in to get into that wedding supper, and they recognize, "I did all this stuff, but I did it for my own glory, or not the glory of God." And some were just, "Hey, I said the prayer, I'm saved, that's all I need, okay? Enjoy." You're not going to go into the marriage supper, and in that moment you will know what a grave mistake you made. And you know, and later in the scripture it says that he will wipe away all tears. So, you know, there is a point where those tears of those who are weeping will be wiped away. They will be in heaven, but they miss out on the great rewards. Enough of that. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Don't get caught up in these, you know, people who are saying, "Oh, he's coming back next week. He's coming back in this season. He's coming back in that season." Well, we don't know. And the more important thing is, don't wait till the last minute and do everything you can, because it won't count anyway. Live every day for God. So the message regarding the return of Christ is clear. Now, this is what we have to focus on. Because we think in this time of season, okay, this all transpired 2,000 years ago. And there was great joy when they knew that their Messiah was born. There was great joy. But we are waiting for the Messiah ourselves. We're waiting for his return. And we should walk in that joy, knowing that Jesus Christ is coming. So, the main message is, be prepared. Yes, I was a Boy Scout for a little while. And that was our motto, to be prepared.
Amen.
And that's what we have to be as Christians. We have to always be prepared. But again, it's a choice we make. We can choose to be ready or we can choose not to be ready. When it comes down to it, all the debate on whether there's a rapture, whether there's not a rapture, whether he's coming before, during, or after the tribulation, none of that matters. The bottom line is, are you ready? Have you prepared? Have you done those things that we were required? This is in the middle of, I'm interrupting myself, I know, but this is in the middle of a series of parables. And in one of them, he's saying, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. The more you're given from God, you're going to be expected to have more in the kingdom of God to present to your Lord and Master. That doesn't mean that the one with the single, what's the word I'm looking for?
Talent.
What?
Talent.
Yes, the single talent, thank you. That doesn't mean that they have nothing to do, as you see in that parable. The one with the single talent had the responsibilities to do something with it. So we all have something. We can't get by and say, well, you know, there was really nothing I could do. Who am I? You know, I'm just trying to be humble here. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can add. I was born on the wrong side of the track, decided to live there all my life. You know, there's nothing I can do. Well, that's not going to fly in heaven. Everyone has at least one talent, one thing that they can do to present before God. And everybody is going to be held accountable for what they do and do not do. But 3 points real quick. Though the virgins appear the same, their readiness differentiates them. It is possible to have a lamp that looks good but has no oil in it. A person may be in church and yet be a stranger to the Holy Spirit. How many have wonderful looking lamps in your house that have never been lit? It's going to get soot on it. Oh, it'll be messy. So they just sit. They don't even have oil in them. Never had oil in them. Do I sound like I'm speaking from experience? Beautiful lamps. Look great, look like they would do a wonderful job, but don't you dare put oil in that lamp. But we can be the same way. We can go around and act very Christian, but we don't take care of the oil, the Spirit of God that is bestowed in us. We ignore it, we shut it down, we get lazy, we make excuses. Well, I don't want to do that right now. Well, I'm afraid to do this or that, you know, like maybe I should have used the parable of the talents, but like the guy with the one talent, I knew he was a harsh judge, so I was afraid that I would, if I lost it, then I'd really be in trouble, so I buried it. That's not acceptable. We have to use whatever God has given to us, we have to use it for the kingdom of God. Some things you can't borrow but must possess for yourself, like holiness. Now we have the righteousness of God in Christ. He is our sanctification. But the word then says, be ye holy, even as the Father is holy. That's your responsibility. That's what our job is to work on that holiness. Oh, I'm so weak. My flesh is so strong. I can't overcome it. I can't. Did a sermon a long time ago and I put up a thing that said, can't still kills Abel. That's a play on words from Cain and Abel, but can't still kills Abel. We say, I can't do it, and therefore we can't do it. God gave you the ability, but you killed that ability by your can'ts. And we need to try. We need to do. You know, I will never, maybe I shouldn't say that. Okay, we won't say that. Never is one of those big words that you shouldn't use, but Yeah, I'm not a great orator, speaker. And I never will be. You know, I've been doing this for 40 years. This is what you get. But I do all I can do to glorify God. Every message, I spend time before it praying, not me, but you. This has got to be about God, not about me, not about my presentation. Now, as we leave, I'll ask Cynthia, you know, critique me. What did I say right? What did I say wrong? You know, I want all that feedback. But it isn't about me. It is about God. And what effort we put into it and that we do. I've told you before that you get me out of this setting, you will hardly ever hear a word out of me. I'm an extremely backwards and shy person. And I'm just not... I mean, Cynthia's the talker in our group. I mean, when we had to go to business meetings and business luncheons and dinners and stuff, I just kind of stood behind her and smiled and let her talk. Because she's got the gift. I would let her do the talking and I would just stay out of it. You go into a crowded room, you go to one of the dinners, you're going to find me sitting in a corner somewhere. Because I am very awkward in communicating anything but the Word of God and the building of the kingdom. That's all I know. That's all I've studied. I've studied computers, but seems like nobody wants to talk about computers or programming. I don't know what that is, but they just don't want to talk about that. A lot of people don't want to talk about the Word of God either. But I do take the one thing that He did give me to do. And He didn't say, Dennis, I want you to be the greatest. I want you to rock the world. I want you to... Now, when I was a kid, I thought that. I want you to go worldwide and evangelize the world. He didn't say that. He said, here's this gift. Now you choose what you're going to do with it. I want you to make it grow. I want you to do something with it. And the rest then became my responsibility. Again, it's the choices that we make. I can choose to believe the can't. I can choose to live in the can't, or I can know my God has given me everything that I need that pertains to life and godliness. So therefore, I will walk in that. I will fumble. I will fail. I will play like West Virginia offense does sometimes. But I will give it my all, and I will continue to improve. Same with our holiness. We work on our holiness. We're going to fail. We're going to fumble. We're going to mess up. But the attitude in here, in your heart, has to be, I'm doing everything I know to grow. I'm following Romans
12.
Verses 1 and 2. I am following that. I'm humbling myself before God. I'm training my mind according to the Word of God instead of what everything is been told me in the world. I'm doing everything I can to walk in holiness. And finally, although God gives second chances, there's a time when it will be too late. He'll say, I don't know you. There is that point when it's too late. I know people who have said, I'm going to wait until I know I'm dying, then I'll repent. And they die without having that opportunity. You don't know when or how your life will end. You don't know the day or the hour that Christ will return. So you have to always have your lamp filled with oil. Now, in that, those verses we read that they all fell asleep. Falling asleep on God isn't a good thing. But they were accepted because they had filled their lamps. They had plenty of oil. So that's the grace of God. We can make those kind of mistakes. We have those times when we kind of get lazy, when we kind of get bored, when we kind of get tired. But we have to always remember to stir ourselves up and be ready and do those things that God requires of us. Being late is never more lamentable than when applied to Jesus' second coming. Make sure you don't miss the joy of his appearing. Keep watch. When he appears again, some are going to rejoice. Many are going to weep. Many are going to cry. They're going to talk about men's hearts failing them for fear. They're going to be afraid in a negative way. The best thing is to fill that lamp up. Keep that oil full. Keep that oil flowing. Keep that light. Don't hide it under the bush. Go into another song. Don't hide it under a bush, but let your light shine before men. It doesn't have to be perfect in what you do. Often it won't be, because we're imperfect vessels. But the more you do it, the more comfortable you become doing it, the easier, the more natural it becomes. I don't want to say easier. There are some Sundays I come in here and I just go with it, you know, no worries. But even still, after doing this for so many years, there's so many times when I get up here and I'm scared to death. I'm nervous as I can be. I don't know why, but it just happens. But you have to press through those times. You can't make an excuse and say, oh, let somebody else do it this morning. You know, I'll call Mark, Mikey. Get Mikey, Mikey will do it. You know, I could always find somebody else to preach, but God called me to do this. Amen. So I have to come against those fears. I have to come against those, whatever the issues may be, and I have to do what God has told me to do. We have to keep persevering in all these things. And again, it's a choice that we make. I will decide if I'm going to walk in the oil, that anointing from God. I choose whether I walk in that or not. The enemy will try to persuade you by everything. You know, it's like there's always somebody. And I don't care how big the church, how small the church, there's always been somebody to criticize. Always. You know? And we can take that criticism. You know, you can have 100 people saying, oh, that was great, I was blessed. You know, the altar was full every service. But that one person says something negative, and it's an arrow that gets through your armor. We have to stop letting it strike. Lift up that shield of faith. What I say or do, it won't be perfect to everyone. What I say or I do, some will hate. Some will never like. But I'm not here working for people. But we elected you. I'm not working for you. I'm working for God. And I have to do in myself, in my heart, what God has told me to do. You can do no more, no less. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, do it all for the glory of God. It doesn't have to be preaching from a pulpit. It doesn't have to be teaching. It doesn't have to be leading the singing, playing the piano. It doesn't have to do any of those things. You be the best you God wants you to be in whatever situation you are. Because when the time comes, we'll go before God. And if we have been faithful in what he has given us, that one little talent, if we've been faithful with what he has given us, he's going to tell us to enter into the joys of his kingdom. That will be joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what we long for. Now, I want to go ahead and sing a song, but we're not done. So when we stop singing, don't think we're done, because we're going to have communion this morning also. But I want to do that after this song, and then we can do another song after the communion. So I'm going to keep you busy this morning, Bill. But as we sing this song, I just give you an opportunity to pray and to seek God. One of the verses that I will read in a little bit is from 2 Corinthians, and it tells us not to take the cup unworthily. Unworthily means, okay, we've gone through the motions, we're the virgins with the empty lamps. That's unworthy. we don't really believe it. We don't really mean it. And he says, because of that, it says a lot of sick and some have died. Bad things happen when we make a mockery of God. So I encourage you to use this time to seek God and say, okay, do I choose joy this morning? Or do I let the circumstances determine whether I will have joy or not? That joy is a gift from God, given 2,000 years ago, that we can walk in it even
now. Everybody has the lead on this next number. And of course, let's see, I started out, and then J.D. Sumner, the bass singer, takes a solo part. Next, Cecil Blackwood has the solo. And then I have another one. And finally, Mr. Bill Shaw, our high tenor, winds it all up. Of course, Jackie Marshall over there at the piano gives us a nice introduction. And with this number, we will be taking our leave of you. We hope you have enjoyed our program. You join us every time we're your way with one of these visits on television. If you enjoy them, you let us hear from you. Right now, let's all get together on When the Saints Go Marching In.
Oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number, when the saints go marching in.
I'm just a weary pilgrim, traveling through this world of sin, getting ready for that city, when the saints go marching in.
My father, Lord, Lord, Savior, what a soldier he has been. What a devil to a decoy city, when the saints go marching in.
Up there I'll see the Savior who redeemed my soul from sin. With extended hands he'll be clean when the saints go marching in.
Oh, when the saints,
hallelujah, hallelujah.
No, we just got started. Good there. Jackie, play a chorus of that, and then Bill, sing another. Yeah. Play a little of it, Jackie.
We're